turn our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Very, very familiar text tonight, just the thought that the Lord has given me. You'll find as you read and you study 1 Kings chapter 17 and 1 Kings chapter number 18, there is a phrase. There is a phrase that, as I was reading, stuck out to me, and I've read it many times, but never seen it in this life. And 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Look at verse number 10. "So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." Verse number 12, and the Bible says, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth." Let's skip over to chapter 18, verse number 10. This is Obadiah talking to Elijah. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And he answered him and said, I am, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver my servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath for the kingdom and nation that they found thee not." Verse number 15, the Bible says, "And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." Father, tonight I pray for the next few moments you'd bless the reading of your word. We thank you for this opportunity to come to the house of God to sing the songs, to uplift your name, to hear the word of God read. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way tonight. Speak to our hearts, stir us, Father, for your honor and for your glory. And we'll thank you for all you do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you read about Elijah and Elijah's life, he fights battle after battle. He goes from persecution to persecution. He goes from trouble to trouble. And I had the thought, what is it that a man like this, what is it about him that keeps him carrying on? What is it about a man like Elijah that keeps him serving the Lord with great determination, with great fortitude and great zeal? I believe it's found in the very first saying as he comes on the scene. Not much is known about him, where he came from. He was a Tishbite from Gilead. But other than that, there's not much about Elijah that we know. But I believe it's the very first fact, the very first statement he says, that he has an unshakable assurance in his soul that there is a God that is alive and well. He knows this God. This God knows him. He talks to this God. This God talks to him and he hears him. And we find that Elijah has a great assurance that his God is alive. You say tonight, is there a God? Oh, yes, there's a God. Is he alive? Sure he's alive. I don't see, Pastor, how people could look at the sunset and look at a sunrise. They could look at the mountains and the streams and the valleys and the rivers and the lakes. They can look at creation, all the beauty that it holds. They can see the birth of a newborn child and the complexity of a human body and say that it's all by accident, that it's all by circumstance or just by happenstance. If you say that tonight, I believe there's something very, very wrong. Our Bible declares, boldly states in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning, God. God does not have to explain himself. God does not have to defend himself or give an explanation. There is a God. He's real. He's alive. He created all. He's Alpha and Omega. He's first and the last. He was in the beginning, and he'll be there in the end. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Rock of all ages. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we face uncertain days ahead? How can we go on in this darkness that we know that the future holds, knowing that the storm clouds are on the horizon? There's trouble and turmoil in our country and trouble and turmoil in our economy. How does the Christians, you and I tonight, go on with burdens and trials and the troubles of living a Christian life? I believe we know we can have the assurance as Elijah did, knowing that the Lord God liveth, knowing that there's someone on the throne, knowing that there's someone that's exalted on high, this someone that he cares about us, he hears us, and he loves us as his very own. As long as the Lord God liveth, let me say tonight, I believe we'll be okay. Does he live? Oh, yes, he lives. Let me say, number one, the Lord God liveth when the wicked has strength. The Lord God lives, even though the wicked seems like they're in power and they have all the strength and all the might. In chapter number 16, verse number 30, the Bible says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been in a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him, and reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. There was not a more wicked, there was not a more ungodly, there was not a more godless, there was not a more depraved, filthy, vile king in the history of Israel than King Ahab. Ahab, he had great power. His father Omri had great power. He married a wife named Jezebel. Jezebel's father was Ethbaal, a heathen god of great power. They ushered in the worship of this Baal. They did away with all, tried to do away with all the things of God. They tried to snuff the things of God out. Let me say, there was ministerial deception going on in this day. They were trying to snuff God out. The only viewpoint that they was willing to offer was the viewpoint of the prophets of Baal. And when the prophets of God tried to raise up, Jezebel had them all killed. You know, that sounds like the day and age we live in. The viewpoint of the wicked. All they want to hear is their very own. If you try to say something, if you get on social media and say there's only one true and living God, his name's Jesus Christ, he is the way, he is the only way to God the Father, you'll be cut off. Ministerial deception. Ministerial deception in the church. They tried to wipe God clean. Today we see that in these churches in the modern day. Due for popularity or larger numbers or larger crowds, their teachings and their false teachings. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come That time's now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They were trying to take away everything of the true and living God. Ministerial deceptions going on. But let me say also, there was moral decay going on. In chapter number 14, chapter 15, the Bible tells us that there were the Sodomites had filled the land. Israel, the inhabitants of Israel, they lived, they practiced, they accepted the ways of Sodom. They weren't ashamed. They weren't trying to hide and to cover up their wicked ways. Matter of fact, they promoted it. They wasn't ashamed of it. They paraded it. We find that they were parading this perverse lifestyle. Moral decay going on. Ministerial deception going on. They lived like there was no God. They lived like God did not see them. They lived like God did not know. They lived like there was no heaven or no hell. And in all of this wickedness and all of this ungodliness, there steps out a man of God who comes. He walks up to Ahab, and the first thing he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." He said, "There is a God, Ahab, and this God is alive." You say, "Preacher, we're living in a day of ministerial deception. We're living in a day of moral decay. We're living in a day when it seems like the wicked has great power." And I believe it's true. But there is still a God tonight that is alive. There's still a God that hasn't stopped his plan. It hasn't derailed his purpose. It won't delay his coming. And it won't dethrone his position. Our God, Jesus Christ, is alive. Hey, church, let's not get discouraged tonight because the wicked has strength, because America has moral decay. We ought to be encouraged tonight that God is alive and well. We should lift our heads high. We should march on for Jesus Christ. We should stand our ground knowing that our God one day will set all things right, for Jesus is alive. Listen to Acts chapter 17, verse 31. The Bible says, "He hath appointed a day." God has ordained. God has ordained, appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man, by his son Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. Given assurance to me, given assurance to you, that he hath raised him from the dead. You know what God was telling this wicked world when Jesus Christ got up from the dead? "I'm alive, I'm alive." The tomb said, "I can't find him." And grave said, "I couldn't bind him." And when Jesus got up in victory, he was saying, "I'm alive forevermore." What are we going to do while the wicked gets stronger? The wicked seems like they have more strength. The wicked has more say-so, and the wicked has more power. Let me say tonight, God's always got a place. He's always got a place for his children. A place that he provides for, a place that he protects, and the place that he strengthens. Look at verse number 2, chapter 17. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and to hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I can just imagine Elijah thinking, "And when the wicked has all this strength, and God's telling me to go down to this brook, what in the world does God have a plan? What is his purpose of sending me down by this brook?" Let me say, God always has a place for his people. In the wicked days, amongst the ungodly, in all the turmoil, He gives us a place where we can strengthen ourselves, where we're provided for, where we're protected, where we're sheltered, where we're secure. I want to echo tonight the words of David, the sweetest psalmist of Israel. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." No matter how wicked it gets, no matter the darkness that we face, no matter the turmoil that we're going to go through, God will always have the brook of Cherith. God will always have some ravens. God will always have a place to shelter and provide for his people. You won't hear this on Fox News. You definitely won't hear it on CNN or MSNBC. But in all this wickedness, all the chaos in America, all the turmoil that we find, all the unrest, there's still a God. His name's Jesus Christ. He's on the throne, and everything's going to be okay. The Lord God liveth when the wicked have strength. Let me say number two, the Lord God liveth when all the water stops. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. No rain in the land. Elijah prays, and for 3.5 years God stops the heavens, dries the earth, and because of that, Elijah experiences a season of dryness in his life. Let me say tonight, there will always be seasons of dryness in the Christian's life. And how we handle those seasons determine our outcome. Our pastor preached upon it this morning. Preached about Joash. Joash was doing right. Joash was living right. Joash set the things in the house of God in order. He was serving God. He was living for God. But his mentor, his spiritual leader, his pastor died. No doubt it was a dry time in Joash's life. And during this dry time, Joash began to go astray. During those dry seasons, we just need to make up our mind. We need to get rooted and grounded in the things of God and have the fact that God's still alive, that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, God has an objective, and it will not change. Verse number 9, it says, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widowed woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was fetching it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." Elijah's life had turned dry. He's needing water. It's turned barren. He's asked for some bread. And now this little widowed woman has nothing. But watch what God gives Elijah. Look at this assurance he gives. This woman, through the mouth and of this little widow woman, there in Zarephath in verse number 12. This is her first words. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth. You know, some of you may have walked into the sanctuary this morning or tonight, and you say, "Preacher, it seems like my life, in the period and the season of my life, is very dry. The water's gone. Seems like everything is going wrong. It seems like I pray and I pray and I pray, and God's not hearing and God's not answering. What am I to do during this dry season?" Let me just say, like Elijah, just follow God's instructions. Just follow God's plan. Keep following His purpose. God gave Elijah some instructions. Go to the brook. Go see that woman there in Zarephath. Follow His plan, and God will keep continuing to provide if we continue following His purpose. Verse number 13, the Bible says, and Elijah said to her, "Fear not, and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Pastor, I may be wrong, but I don't believe that God filled this barrel to the top. I don't believe he filled the cruse of oil to the brim. For some reason, I seem to think he put just enough in there to give them their daily needs. The Lord showed his disciples when he was teaching them how to pray. He said, "Give us this daily bread." It's called living by faith. Living by faith, trusting God day by day, our every need from hour to hour. Every time I go and open the cabinets there in the kitchen and I see there's food to eat, and every time I open the refrigerator door and I have something to drink, every morning I wake up and I'm able to stand on my own, and every morning I go to bed and I'm able to lay down with a roof over my head, I seem to think, help to notice that there is a God that is alive, that He is well, and He's taking good care of me. The song goes, "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him, for He knows what's ahead. Many things I don't know about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know. I have this assurance. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Church, we have nothing to fear as long as there's a living God on the throne of heaven, and I'm thankful He'll never be removed. The Lord liveth when the wicked have strength. The Lord liveth when the water stops. And let me say lastly, the Lord liveth when we walk solo. Chapter 18, verse number 21. Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt thee between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Here in chapter number 18, Elijah's alone on Mount Carmel. Alone on Mount Carmel facing 450 prophets of Baal. All the prophets of Baal, you know the story. They had a contest on which God was going to answer by fire. All the prophets of Baal, they begin dancing. They begin singing. They begin cutting themselves. They begin crying and pleading to Baal to hear them. And we find later on that Elijah begins to laugh. Elijah begins to mock. Elijah begins to make fun of. You say, why was Elijah doing that? I believe Elijah knew something that they did not know. Here at Fletcher First Baptist Church, we have a good congregation. It's not a huge congregation compared to the world. Here at Fletcher First Baptist Church, we'll have great, great financial resources. At Fletcher First Baptist Church, we don't have great political clout. Here at the church, we don't have great influence on social standards or the society issues. They're very minuscule, very small. So how can we as a church, as a group of believers, come to the house of God every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, knowing that America is in turmoil, Inflation's out the roof, and it looks like there's no hope in the land, but we can still rejoice, we can still have joy in our soul, and we can still praise God. It's because we know something that they don't know. And that is, our God reigns. Our God's alive. Our God's on the throne. And most of all, I know Him and He knows me. I believe it was President Reagan who said, the question is not, is God on our side? But rather, are we on His side? Elijah knew. He knew that he was on the side of the true and living God. Can't help think about John the Revelator. John's well up in years. Some say he was in his 90s. He's there on the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled, the beloved disciple. The only disciple was at the foot of the cross when our Lord and Savior gave his life for the ransom of many. He was there because of the Word of God. He was there because he was a true and a faithful witness. He was there because of his testimony to Jesus Christ. He's cast out. I believe, to our knowledge, there's no other brother and sister that we know of. No one for him to talk to. No one for him to pray with. No one to encourage him. No one to share. I believe he probably felt all alone. I believe he was walking solo. There was no one there in the way. But the Bible says, on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day, there on the Isle of Patmos, John the Revelator hears a voice. And there he began to turn around. Listen to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He saw the church. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass as it burned in a furnace, and his voice at the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore. Hey, church, I don't know what we're facing. I don't know the darkness that's ahead, but as long as God is alive, as long as He's on the throne, we have nothing to fear. Whether the wicked has all the strength, whether our water's dried up, or whether we're walking solo, there's a God that's alive and we'll be okay. Tonight, I don't know what you're facing. Tonight, I don't know what your family's going through. Tonight, I don't know the burdens and the battles that you're carrying. I don't know what you have need of. I don't know what you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed. But let me say, when the wicked has the strength, and when the waters are dried up, and when you're walking solo, I want to encourage you. As long as the Lord thy God liveth, as long as we follow His instructions, as long as we follow His plan, we'll be just fine. Let's stand tonight. Anna Lee, if you'll come and help me out on the piano. Father, tonight we want to thank you that we serve a God that's alive and well, knowing you're on the throne, knowing that your ear and your eyes are toward your people. And God, I pray that you'd help us see you in a way that's high and lifted up. And Lord, I'm thankful I'm a child of God. I'm thankful I've been born again and washed by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, I pray maybe someone here may be struggling or may be hurting, maybe fearing, Lord. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd let them see you, knowing that you're alive and well. God, I'm thankful we serve a God that's alive and well, one that liveth evermore. Help your people. Father, hear the calls and the prayers and the supplications of your people. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is, this altar's open. Maybe you want to come and thank him for dying for you, for raising from beginning up from the dead, living forevermore. Whatever your need is, this altar's open.